What's up, everyone? Welcome to the first episode of Your Dose of Inspiration. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am really ecstatic to finally kickstart this podcast. But before we start, let me give you a quick background about me and this podcast. My name is Richard Juan, and I'm a Hong Kong host and actor based in the Philippines. And this podcast aims to put the spotlight on the stories of different Asians from different parts of the world with the hopes of inspiring you, my listeners. And joining us for the very first episode is a multi-award winning singer and actress. She's best known for a Tony Award winning role in Miss Saigon, the singing voice behind Princess Jasmine and Mulan, and the very first Asian to play Eponine in the musical Les Miserables on Broadway. She recently starred in the musical drama Yellow Rose. I am so excited to have with us an Asian icon. Let us all welcome Miss Leia Salonga. Hello, Miss Leia.
Hi, Richard. Hi, everybody. Hey, everyone. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here on our very first episode.
Wow.
For our podcast, we really just want to feature a lot of very inspiring Asians, especially the ones who have accomplished great things internationally and globally. And we think that you are the perfect fit, of course, to somehow represent Philippines also.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, much appreciated.
We actually met back in 2017 when Miss Universe was here, and That was. I remember I was kind of like a young kid back then. I was still kind of nervous. I'm like, oh my God, it's Miss Leia.
You still look pretty young. I mean, you look like you're just out of high school.
I just look like it.
Well, Asians, I think, are blessed in that regard. Like, we can be in our 30s and still look like we just got out of high school. So, yeah. Let's enjoy it while we can.
And I think, Miss Leia, you're at your, like, you know, late 30s also, right? Or like mid-30s?
Actually, no. On my next birthday, I turn 50.
Already? No way!
Yes!
Wow!
Yeah,
wow!
Yeah. On my next birthday, I turn 50. So I'm quite happy to have been around in the industry for as long as I have been. And that I still look forward to my birthday. I mean, I consider that, as far as my mental health is concerned, I consider that a good thing.
Yeah.
Once I stop looking forward to my birthday, once I start dreading it, then it's like, I gotta evaluate my life and see what's going on.
But how's this whole pandemic treating you though? Like, are you, I know, there's no theater, you can't perform and all that. Like, how are you coping with it?
Yeah, I've actually gotten pretty good at baking sourdough. It's something that I found to be a really good outlet. It's a great way to decompress, to take the stress away. It's something that where after you put in your, you know, put in some effort, you end up with a nice little gift at the end of it. I think anyone that enjoys making something, putting together something, has a feeling and a sense of accomplishment after that. So I feel fulfilled after it comes out of the oven and it's golden brown and everything just looks great.
It's definitely the feeling of, you know, putting in the hard work and then seeing it come out to become something so beautiful and so tasty. And I think that's how we are all, especially as artists. And, you know, for you starting in this industry of entertainment so young and so early, and if I'm not mistaken, at 17, you were able to play the lead role of a big production like in Miss Saigon,
well, I auditioned,
right?
I auditioned at 17 and I was on stage at 18. And that really was the show that started everything. I mean, I had already been working here in Manila for around 10 years. I started at 7. But as far as my career outside the Philippines, it was really Miss Saigon that got the ball rolling. That was really it.
Is this something that you wanted to go for, like going international right away, or did you actually just want to do it locally at first?
I was perfectly happy with my life here. I mean, I was a student at Ateneo de Manila University. I was a major in pre-med. I was a biology major. So, I mean, I had a really nice life. I had my friends. I was in school. And I thought that that was going to be my life for 4 years. And I mean, I was focused on possibly having a medical career. And then Miss Saigon happened. To answer your question, if this was what I wanted, I didn't know. This was the thing. I did not, it wasn't my huge ambition at the time.
Yeah.
To leave the Philippines and embark on an international musical theater career. This was one of those things where there's no way I could ever be an atheist, because it's like, it was as if someone took me by the shoulders and placed me on a completely different path from the one I had put myself on. It's like someone else was in control of my destiny.
Yeah.
Which is a really,
I love this story.
You know, which is a really weird thing if you think about. It's like, I did not feel like I was in complete control of everything. I mean, obviously, I could control how prepared I would be for this audition. And yeah, and I mean, whatever would come out of that. So I knew what I could control, but I was also cognizant and aware of what I couldn't.
So how is it for you then? I mean, like you were saying, like you were just 18 years old, an Asian, and being able to play a lead role in such a big production. And during that time, you know, in 1989, I don't think it was a very common thing, if I'm not mistaken. Like, how was that for you? Like, did you feel like, oh my God, the extra pressure? Did you feel like, oh my God, this, am I able to do this? Were there any doubts ever?
It was huge. There was a lot of pressure, because I think the auditions were so massively covered by the media. There were so many pairs of eyes looking at us, especially from here. And as we were leaving, you know, there were a lot of people telling us, you make us so proud. You are making the Filipinos so proud.
Yeah.
And as nice as it is to hear, that adds on another layer of pressure.
Pressure.
It's like you're carrying an entire country on your shoulders. And if you fail, it's almost as if you've let, what was the population at the time? Maybe 70 or 80 million people. It's like you've let 70 to 80 million people down if you fail. So it's like, so it was a huge deal. And so for someone of my age to carry that,
exactly,
it's a lot.
I mean, during your time, like, were there a lot of Asian representations already, or was it really just like a handful of them?
If that, I
or
mean,
us rather.
There weren't really a whole lot. I mean, there's one role in a chorus line that requires an Asian performer thing. I mean, there had already been other Asian performers, like in shows like Flower Drum Song, Pacific Overtures. But it really wasn't, it's certainly nothing compared to what's here now. Miss Saigon, I think, just being able to employ so many actors over its run, so many actors of Asian descent that were able to,
find jobs
get seen.
And- Yeah.
Yeah. So the employment level was staggering. There were so many Filipino actors from here that headed off to Stuttgart and Amsterdam, and wherever
else. So Miss Saigon really opened so many doors for people.
It did. Doors were just opening.
Yeah.
Doors were opening for us. There were so many actors that looked like me getting a shot.
Right.
Just how many people were seen? How many people were able to get up on a stage and make their dreams come true? That's the thing about the show.
For sure. So, I mean, of course, you know, when you said the dreams come true and all that, and the fact that you're the first woman of Asian descent to win a Tony Award.
Technically, no.
How
actually,
does that feel? You know?
In my category.
Is it not?
No. Wait,
okay.
There's trivia. So in my category, most certainly, I'm the first Asian actor to win the best actress in a musical category. But there was a costume designer named Willa Kim, who's Korean-American, who won the same year I did. So maybe an hour or an hour and a half before I got my trophy, she got hers. So in the 1991 Tony Awards, there were two Asian women that won Tony Awards. So, yeah, but the next actress to win after me was it first Asian actor to win was like 25 years after when it went to Ruthie Ann Miles for The King and I, where she played Lady Tiang. So
yeah,
so it's crazy. So that's there's an indication there of the lack of representation. 25 years between my Tony and hers.
Oh my God, 25.
It's nuts, if you think about it. It's nuts. I'd like to think that things are changing and that we're getting more opportunities, that there are more Asian faces that are being
recognized,
seen in mass media globally.
Yeah.
That it's not, and it's
BTS.
Also not just coming out of the, yeah, and the Hallyu, you know, it's not just the K-pop wave, it's the K-drama wave. So that the stuff coming out of South Korea is becoming so much more global and seen. I wasn't a huge fan of K-pop until like August of 2020 when Dynamite came out, when BTS came out with, when they released Dynamite. That was when I was like, oh my God, what is this? And I need to start watching.
Yeah.
So I got into it really fast thanks to that single. And then it was like, and then you start watching often enough. It's like, I just want to know what their names are. And then the next thing you know everything about them. Yeah. So, I mean, yes, we see however many bands are there. There's GOT7, there's EXO, there's SHINee, which is an older band.
Ooh, you know your stuff, Miss Leah.
I know some of it, not all of it. I'm catching up to a whole lot of it. And then there are new bands. There's like bands.
Yeah.
And I was watching the awards night. Award season from like last December, so you start to learn
Mamas,
the names.
Yeah.
There's like Treasure and Monsta X and 17.
Monsta X, yes. I got to meet Monsta X actually.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah. Monsta X, I met them, wow, back in 2017 in Korea. There was a show, they have a show in Korea called Music Bank.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to have met someone who was able to bring me backstage. I got to meet them. They are so humble. Like, that's the thing about Korean artists too. I realize that no matter how big they are, they still treat people with respect. Like, I mean, there are people who, you know, we're both in the industry here, and we know there are some people who, you know, who just
they get too big for their britches.
Yes. But these K-pop stars, I was so surprised because Monsta X is huge. Like, they've been huge for the last, I think, 5-6 years. But the fact that I was like a nobody to them, but yet they would be bowing to me and they would be calling me Hyung, because Hyung is just very respectful. I'm like,
yeah, apparently BTS is the same. The word is that a lot of them are very kind. A lot of them are very respectful. Somebody raised these kids right. I mean, that there is a gratefulness and appreciation for the opportunities because they are aware that the competition is so stiff.
So fierce.
And it's fierce. And so if you do get a leg up, that's really hard work that makes that possible, and determination and drive and ambition and all that good stuff. And now here they are nominated for a Grammy. Here's BTS nominated for a Grammy.
My God.
And topping the
Billboard charts. How does that feel
for you? It's nuts. It's as an Asian performer.
Like, yeah.
I'm ecstatic. Just ecstatic that here is a boy band that tops the Billboard charts and then tops it with another song that has mostly Korean lyrics. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
They attribute so much of their success to their fans, and rightfully so, to one another, to their management, to their families. It's nice that they haven't forgotten how tough it was for them at the very beginning, who was always there supporting them. And it's, for all of these groups, there's a great appreciation.
What about Miss Leah? Because I remember I was reading something on Twitter. Like, I think there was a K-pop artist that recognized you as one of your one of his idols. Like,
what
was that story?
Okay, I was looking at my Instagram stories, and I've become kind of online friends with a guy named Docs Kim, who also works with BTS. He's like a keyboard player and a musical arranger and a musical director. So we've kind of become friends via Instagram. And I saw, I think, on his Instagram story something. And so I pinged him about it. I'm like, okay, what is this? What's going on? And then I think it turns out that he and Tableau from Epic High, I think Docs Kim did something with Epic High. And I didn't know who Epic High was, had no idea. So he mentioned the name. And I'm like, it's time to look into this. And so I listened to their latest album. It has a butterfly on the cover. And so I'm like, oh, this is hip hop. And it's not angry. At least that's not, the music doesn't sound angry. It sounds really chill and very mature and very adult. And so I'm like, I am digging this music. This is so nice. So I tweeted about this album, and I said that I was like, thanks to a nudge, I'm listening to Epic High. And so I tagged the two rappers and the DJ who are part of it. It's a three-man crew. Next thing I know, here comes a quote tweet, and he's like going crazy on his Twitter, saying that I'm a longtime fan. I'm then a lifetime fan, and he mentions Reflection, and I'm just laughing. I'm laughing, and then we start to trend, and I'm like, and my name is trending in hip hop. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is weird. Why am I trending in hip hop? And then I realize it's because I talked about Epic High.
So. Well, how's it feel for you, like, you know, knowing that, you know, these successful K-pop artists actually look up to you also? Like, is this something that
it's a little unreal. Well, Tableau is originally from Canada and Dox Kim is American. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that it was when they were still back in Canada and the US that they heard of me, because it was through Mulan.
Right.
So, like, they know my name thanks to the Disney movies, which mm-hmm. is how a lot of people also know my voice. So, yeah, Disney is the gift that keeps on giving. but, yeah, it's like, it's a little surreal to have, you know, someone that is that successful and someone who is also influential to a lot of younger artists tell me, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I'm such a huge fan of yours. And so... yeah, it's surreal.
Did you think that you were going to be doing something with Disney, like, back then, growing up? I mean, you didn't expect from Broadway to be doing all those Disney stuff, right?
No. I thought I'd do my stint on Broadway and probably go home. I didn't know what it was going to lead to at the time. But while I was still in Miss Saigon, I get a note at the stage door of our theater, at the Broadway theater, you know, inviting me to audition for this brand new Disney movie. My participation in Aladdin, as well as Brad Kane's, who was the singing voice of Aladdin, our casting was an 11th hour decision, because initially our characters were not even supposed to sing. But they decided later on that these characters had to sing. We were extremely, extremely lucky that we got to be part of that.
Yeah.
And then Mulan followed a few years later. And that was a huge moment for Asian representation, because a lot of the actors who were doing the voices were of Asian descent. So it was a pretty huge deal.
Got it. So I guess, I mean, sometimes in life, like, I always say this, sometimes life just throws random things at you. You just got to, like, embrace it. And who knows what would happen? You know, they say life gives you lemonade, and lemon, you make lemonade. So here you are. All these successes.
So much lemonade lasting 40 years. I really can't complain.
I'm assuming no plans of retirement anytime soon.
No. I love it too much.
Great. That's good.
I enjoy the career too much. I love the work.
Yeah.
I love the exercise of singing. I like creating. I like stepping into a role for a couple of hours and seeing what happens. Yeah. There's an excitement to the creation of a role or the interpretation of a role.
Great. Thank you so much, Miss Leia. Now, let's proceed to the next part of this podcast. It's a mini game, something fun. We're just going to ask you a question, which is, would you rather, and this is going to be, of course, the BTS version.
Of
so any
rather.
Of the seven members, yeah, so any of the seven members that you're familiar with based on the personality, I'll just ask a question. You'll just have to answer who among the seven members of BTS you would rather do the certain activity with. So for example,
got it. Okay.
Let's go straight into it.
I think, yeah, I know let's who the seven are, so I think I'm good.
Okay, who would you rather go mountain climbing with and why?
Jungkook.
Yeah. Why him?
I mean, he's the strongest one. He's the most physically able.
Fit-ish.
And strong. I mean, we see his legs. We've seen his abs. I mean, there's no question. I mean, no, he shows it when they do the choreography for Fake Love. It's part of the choreography. So it's not even a secret.
I love it.
Yeah, but he's like the most physically strong, most physically able. So yeah, he's the one that you can carry your backpacks and whatever. And yeah, that's the one.
You actually thought through the whole thing.
Yes, it's like, who else?
You imagined the whole thing too.
But yeah, like who else would I bring? I mean, I would not mountain climb. I wouldn't hike. But if I were to do that, it would be Jungkook.
Yeah.
That would be my companion.
Next
for
one.
That.
Got it. Next one. Who would you rather sing at karaoke with?
Ooh.
Like, you guys might compete. I don't know. Like, however you
it's
like it
to
be. It's
a toss-up. It's a toss-up between V and Jungkook. Because I think those two, for me, I love their voices the right. most. I think it would depend on the song. So if it requires a higher voice, then of course I'd pick right. Jungkook because he's a tenor. If it requires a lower baritone, then I would have to pick V. Mm-hmm.
All right, next question. We got, who would you rather bring to a party?
Ooh! Ooh, that's a good one.
To a party, someone fun.
J-Hope.
J-Hope, yeah, he's the funny one. He's like the life of the party.
Yeah, either him or Jimin. Because Jimin looks like he would be a fun drunk to watch. It looked like if he gets drunk, he'd be a lot of fun to watch. But Hobie, with his disposition and his personality, he's like sunshine. I think that would be a lot of fun at a party. I'm a bit of an introvert, so I think I need someone who's a little more extroverted.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Miss Leia, for joining me in this little game. And of course, you know, during this whole podcast, it was so much fun. But before we end this, do you have a little message to, let's say, the listeners who are, you know, aspiring to be like you, or, you know, to just get themselves out there in an age, to put Asian face out there, really, you know?
There's a saying, fortune favors the brave. I don't know that I was particularly brave in my entire journey of doing what I do, but I've been incredibly fortunate and lucky and prepared, I guess, for all of this stuff. So I think the only thing I can impart is figure out what it is that will set you apart. Make sure you are ready, willing, and able to work very, very hard in order to make your dreams come true. Realize that nothing in this world, if you know BTS's story, that nothing in this world comes easy. And sometimes success takes time before it arrives. But you still have to keep on moving forward.
I think the main point that you're also trying to drive into is that you got to be prepared and ready so that when opportunities are there, you grab it, like, to just make the most out of it. And I think that's pretty much that sums up your story, in my opinion. Like, the opportunity was there and you were ready for it to make, and then you really just shined, you know, like without that opportunity. And I mean, no, sorry, without opportunity, but if you weren't ready, you probably would not have been at where you are right now.
It,
so I think being ready for those opportunities are very, very important. So thank you so much, Miss Leia, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
We really
thanks for
learned
having
so
me.
Much. And man, I got goosebumps from listening to your success story. And of course, thank you so much to everyone else for tuning in. And watch out for our next episode, because we will have with us an Asian TikTok star and model entrepreneur based in South Korea. This has been Richard Juan, and I hope we've given you loads of Inspire Asian today. Till next time, guys.